Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought.
Get out.
Look
Lee,
back at the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean, is
that
this...
That was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Do you know what would be the equivalent in our profession of the Jordan flu game? If you were dealing with blank. Like a lost voice.
Yeah.
Comes to mind right away.
Mm-hmm.
Where on that list would you bit your lip really hard on Monday and now it's still there and like swollen? Where would that take part? You know what I mean? You know how, like, when it's healing, like, the inside of your lip, it's like it's healing, but it's not all the way there.
And your teeth are, like, rubbing on it a little bit?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It's not even that it hurts. It's just annoying. Super annoying. That's what I'm dealing with today.
Yeah, it's definitely not the flu game equivalent, I would say. No.
It's like when Allen hurt his elbow and just kept playing through it and was just like, it's fine.
I might not point. I mean, he did have a tear in his elbow.
Oh, that's
true.
He
did.
And he does use.
He had a muscle that was laying there in half, I believe.
He does use that arm to make hundreds of millions of dollars, whereas.
Yeah. I mean, the words coming out of my mouth are still like that's the moneymaker. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the vocal cords are doing fine, so I guess that's really what matters most.
I came in this morning. I was very concerned. Joe, you know, there had been rumors that Joe might be headed to the IR with his lip injury.
Yes. It was a game time decision. No, it's lower lip.
Oh, man.
It's lower lip. Game time decision, perhaps. That's what happened with Allen in that Minnesota game, wasn't it? That was the game, I thought, where we thought Keenum was playing until, like, that morning. I remember being in the parking lot. I think it was off that day. I think it was going to that game. And I remember being in the parking lot and everyone's like, so you think Josh is playing today? And I don't remember when we would have found out. Maybe we would have found out like a minute before, or maybe it was an hour before and I just hadn't seen it. He's got, you know, knock on wood. This has been coming up a lot lately because the backup quarterback conversations have been coming up a lot lately, but Allen has the longest start streak, I believe, in the National Football League.
Hmm.
Which is pretty crazy, isn't it, considering how he plays football?
Yeah. His style of play, for sure.
He tries to jump over people. Through people. And he, again, knock on wood, he has gone longer without missing a game than any starting quarterback in the National Football League.
When's the last time that you can remember Josh Allen taking a big hit that he himself did not initiate?
That's a good question. Right, where like...
Who gets a free shot at Josh Allen? No one.
Yeah, no, you don't really see him like caught off guard in the pocket. And the defensive Jets game, end that, runs him.
And he didn't even... He didn't even get hit.
Yeah.
He got his hand. He got his arm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when's the last time he got, like...
Smoked.
Lit up? I don't know.
I don't have a...
That, I don't know that it's...
Happened.
Is it... It's possible it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
How often can you remember those, though? How good is our memory going to be with something like that? Can you remember another Bills quarterback from back in the day getting... Lossman used to get... Tossed.
Rob Johnson used to get absolutely peppered.
Okay.
Was there one in the Jaguars game where the other Josh Allen like went off and went crazy? Remember that?
Wasn't it just the interception though? Did he have sacks in that game? I know he had the interception.
I burned that game from my memory.
The 9-6 game you're talking about?
9-6 against Urban Meyer. What happened?
Is that 2021?
2021, I believe. You know, we talked yesterday about some of the dumbest things in Bills history just because, and I don't think that game came up, and maybe it should have. 9-6 against Urban Meyer. Jeremy off today. Nate's in, as you can hear his voice.
Jeez.
He had one sack that game.
It was a dark, dark game.
Josh Allen did? Like the Jaguars?
Allen. Yeah.
Josh Hines Allen. Thank you. I don't know that he gets lit up. I don't really think it happens. He jumps. He'll jump over you. And he goes at defensive lineman, and usually it goes at least decently well for him. So, yeah, whatever he's doing, keep it up. We'll get to a lot today. Safety is developing even more with some guys that are coming back from injury. We'll have Sal Capaccio coming on at 7 o'clock. Nate Geary's in for Jeremy today. I got a little fantasy to talk about later in the show because I have a big draft tonight.
Ooh.
When's your next draft? August 22nd. Like, this is prime draft season, the next couple weekends.
The next draft I have is Labor Day Sunday, and then we have our draft. Is it that week as well?
Our draft is in, I'm in 11 leagues. You got to be more specific on what our draft is.
PM's draft.
Yes.
I'm in 11 leagues. You're going to have to be a little bit more specific on which one you're talking about.
Yeah, because I'm probably in, am I only in one or two with you? Probably only one or two.
I think one or two. Have you become where you almost require people to be on, like I'm on Sleeper?
Yeah.
The idea of me having to go over multiple platforms is pretty frustrating to me.
I completely agree.
However, Sleeper, I don't know if Sleeper has best ball now.
I think they do.
They have best ball?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
They definitely don't have guillotine though.
They don't have guillotine.
So
you'd
like,
have to manually do
we
guillotine.
We just need a platform to give us all things and at the level that Sleeper does.
Yep.
Because I just
need them
to
add guillotine, really.
Yeah.
I need them to add guillotine. But you can still do it manually. You just have to cut the guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Fantasy, we'll get into some fantasy a little bit later on. I do want to start with Trubisky standing there on the sidelines yesterday, and he's seen in a big brace.
Yeah.
Multiple weeks is how it was labeled for him. We're still a couple weeks before the start of the regular season. We're going to have this game on Saturday, and what? I mean, is Ben DiNucci going to throw 10 passes?
Maybe.
He's going to hand the ball off
Anthony
all
Brown
day.
Might be able to do some, you know, RPO.
Maybe. He's slow, I guess, though.
Oh,
like,
is he?
He's big, and he's got some rushing. Like, Oregon, he had, like, 700 rushing yards, but he also ran, like, a 4.7. 40 times, so maybe he might be fine as a runner and quick. He's not fast. Brown, we'll see what we get from him on Saturday also. What are the odds one of the two guys that's going to play on Saturday is the Bills' backup quarterback to open the season to you? And also, do you care? Like, again, Allen's got the longest start streak in the league. You don't have to care that much, but it is at least a little interesting to me. Like, who is their backup going to be week one? I think it's kind of wide open.
I care a little bit. Right? Like, I care in that my idea of a backup quarterback for the Bills is someone that can get you through two or three games. If Josh Allen misses two or three games, the idea that you need a quarterback that could get you through a season and still keep you where you are, I think is not realistic and or something that I particularly care about. If the Bills lose Josh Allen for an extended period of time, their season's over. Point blank period.
Right.
So if that's Mitch Trubisky, whatever. I guess my standard for where I need the Bills' backup quarterback to be is if they're in a playoff race and Josh Allen absolutely cannot play, I need someone that can run a similar game plan and that can keep you in a game without losing it. And I think of a quarterback like Tyrod Taylor as that exact type of – like, Tyrod will not lose you a game.
Right.
Mitch Trubisky, it's not that he maybe won't lose you a game. It's that he might, and that he also has shown at least – in the last couple of games you've watched Mitch Trubisky play, both in preseason and then, you know, in Pittsburgh when he started a few games to start his career there when he moved on from Buffalo, it wasn't like he won't throw the football.
Right.
Like he won't let it loose.
Right.
So
at all. And like Tyrod, I mean, remember those years. There was a frustration that he wouldn't let it loose, but it wasn't never. Like, one thing he was good at was that sideline deep throw down the field.
He wasn't scared to throw the ball. It looks like Mitch Trubisky is scared to throw the football.
Right, Tyrod was more like there were just plays he couldn't see because he was too short.
Right.
Trubisky, it feels like he can see him and he just doesn't trust whatever to make it, I think. And it depends what kind of backup you want. Do you want that? Do people want the play it safe, conservative, I'll hand the ball off, I'll run some screens?
I need mobile. I need somebody that can move. Like, to me, in the future, if Justin Fields doesn't end up starting, which there's a very good chance Justin Fields starts in Pittsburgh this year, and what he does from there, I'm not sure, but Justin Fields is the ideal backup quarterback for me.
Okay.
Because he will win you a football game with his feet.
All right.
He might not be able to go out there and throw 30 times a game and be successful, but I don't really need that from a backup quarterback in a two-game stretch. I need you to be able to do something that has the ability to win me a game, and even if it's not throwing the football, make it that you can be a dynamic player running. And then build a simple offense around a player like that for two or three weeks where you're running lots of RPO, you're getting the ball out quick, screen passes. Like, that's kind of what this offense, the foundation of this offense is right now. But we don't exactly know what Josh Allen, Joe Brady offense looks like.
We don't know what it looks like really in the first place.
We don't, and we probably won't know till week two.
Because week one is not some things in week one against Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
It also might be different personnel wise. If Curtis Samuel is like close to returning the Sunday morning against Arizona, they might say, hey, why don't we not rush it because we can give you four more days and make sure that you're ready to go against Miami. So, and he, I have to think, has a big part of the playbook that's just for him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's so unique, not just to what the Bills have in their room, but to what's available to you in the league in terms of a player like that. So, yeah, that's interesting. Like, Fields, I mean, he might end up starting, right, in Pittsburgh?
I think that they should start him, and that makes me think that they won't.
Is Wilson playing this weekend?
Wilson,
I thought we saw some...
stinks.
Wilson's pretty bad.
Do you remember a quarterback as good in his prime as Russell Wilson that has fallen as far as he has with time left on the table?
At this age?
Like, he should still be kind of good.
It's a good question because, you know, and by the way, he only makes $1 million.
Carson Palmer?
But he had some big years in Arizona at the end.
Yeah, but he had, like, the injury and that, like, he never was, like, exactly the same player.
Who is the Hall of Fame quarterback? And Wilson might not even, I mean, he might be losing his grip on Hall of Fame.
And is that, can that happen? Can you be a like, almost bona fide, surefire Hall of Famer at the middle of your career?
But see,
and by the end, have your reputation so tarnished?
I don't know that he was a surefire Hall of Famer as much as he was, hey, this guy, everyone thinks he's going to the Hall of Fame because we're expecting it's not going to completely fall off a cliff by the time he's 33 years old,
which is when
it happened. Like, all he really needed to do was have a little bit of a decent career through age 35, 36, 37.
Dude, and 2015 to 2020.
Oh, he was great, right?
Unbelievable. 2015, 4,000 yards, 34 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Something in 2016. Maybe he got hurt in 16, but he only had 21 and 11, but 4,200 yards. 2017, 34, 11, 4,000 yards, 35, 7, 3,500 yards, 31, 5, 4,100 yards.
Yeah.
42, 40 touchdowns, 30 interceptions in 2020.
What were his 2014 passing stats? By the way,
2014, he had 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Okay. Add 849 and 6 touchdowns rushing that year. And then 553. Like, his rushing has gone down.
His 2020 season, the Bills would have played Seattle here in week 4.
Yeah.
And the Bills beat him like 35-32 or something in that game, right?
That was the day. You're saying in the 2020 season?
Yes.
That is the day that I. That's the day I said to myself that Josh Allen is their franchise quarterback.
So
that was the day that I thought I knew that.
That was November 8th. That was later in the season than I thought.
Yeah.
They had come off. That was the year they opened the season home against the Jets, beat the Jets, beat the Dolphins 31-28, beat the Rams here 35-32. That's the game that I was thinking. That's the score I was thinking. 35-32 was that game.
The Rams, the Bills were up big. The Rams came back, and the Bills won it at the end.
They beat the Raiders 30-23. Then the Titans game gets postponed. They get smoked by the Titans. And you're like, whoa, 42-16.
Yeah.
They lose to the Chiefs 26-17. They barely beat the Jets. So like it was like kind of teetering. Mm-hmm. They beat the Patriots, and then they're home against the Seahawks. At that point, Russell Wilson was the MVP frontrunner in that game. Yeah. Russell Wilson goes for 390 and 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in that game. Josh Allen goes 31 of 38 for 415 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, this is actually, we'll get back to it. I'm back at quarterback a little bit.
You're right. That was the game. That was the game that Josh Allen said.
That was the game I thought he was their franchise quarterback for the first time. Like, no, this is real. This is not a good month. You know, Trent Edwards had a great month, right? Like, we've had that. No, this guy is real. The Seattle game was, I remember, when I decided firmly that that was the case.
And this was right after the Patriots game where he kind of didn't look good. Okay. It goes 11 for 18 for 154 yards and an interception in that game. But Diggs had that big game. That game stands out to me from, is that the last time we saw MVP level Russell Wilson?
Probably, at least. I mean, is he a tale of what can happen to the elite mobile quarterback? Like, we don't have a lot of sample on, hey, what happens to these guys that look like superstars that are really based on their that have a lot to do with their mobility. Wilson, it didn't even always have to mean rushing. I know I mentioned, like, he had a year where he had 850 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. He had a bunch of other really big rushing years. But what can happen to a guy when that starts to go away? That athleticism can start to go away when you're not Brady just managing the pocket, or you're not Drew Brees who just mentally has it all upstairs, and Peyton Manning and Roethlisberger to a lesser extent, Rivers. Like, a lot of the Hall of Fame generation quarterbacks that just retired, they're all pocket passers. And this new era that we're seeing now where, hey, everybody is mobile. Yeah. Everybody can run.
At least a little bit.
It's almost like everyone is still so early on in their life cycle that for that type of quarterback that we don't really yet, I don't think we really know how they age. We don't have enough examples of it. Like, there's a few. Like, you can look at Michael Vick. Michael Vick was someone who was great and then aged out, right, around this age.
Yeah, but
Cam Newton aged out around this age. Wilson, again, like, he wasn't as much of a runner as those guys, but Wilson, what made him special? It was, That dude was going to loop around in the pocket three times. He was going to run away from all five of your linemen, and then he was going to pull a throw out of his butt to Doug Baldwin, like 50 yards down the field. And then he was going to, on the next play, roll out of the pocket, and he was going to scramble right. He was going to outrun you, and he was going to throw the ball. Like, he kind of, I think, built a reputation on, I'm going to create something out of nothing with my legs to then pass it. And this happens to running back, right? Running backs hit the age of 30, and that's basically it. Like, the wheels kind of fall off. Is that going to be the case for a lot of quarterbacks also?
So, I this is actually one of the Cam Newton conversation might be one of the most disingenuous conversations about Josh Allen that there is.
Okay, in terms of how Allen will age?
That Newton broke down because of his playing style.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. I think he...
Okay, so
can I say this though? He diminished a bit as an athlete, and he didn't have the ability to throw his way out of it. You know what I mean?
Though,
like he never that dude never fixed his mechanics,
but
he never became a rhythmic passer.
No, but he still was a very good passer. He lost his arm strength. He had a rotator cuff tear in 2016 on his throwing shoulder, and then had another surgery 2 years later on that same shoulder.
There was a car accident, right?
And then a fractured vertebrae.
Yeah.
Like in that accident. So he goes 2018, gets that second shoulder surgery. 2016, tears his rotator cuff in his right throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
He was never really the same after that. That was the year after the Super Bowl in like December that he gets that injury.
Yeah.
So that's almost a full year removed from his Super Bowl MVP caliber season, and tears the rotator cuff in his shoulder, and then has another injury 2 years later, and he never really recovered from that as an athlete.
Isn't this just further proof, though, that these guys like Allen and Allen, I feel like I have a better idea of it, but Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, isn't this just another example, though, like Newton, like all the injuries he had? We don't know how these guys are going to age.
We don't. I don't think we have a good view of...
Like Wilson, I think, is an example, and it's an example of it going poorly, right? He kind of stinks. He holds... That's maybe the thing that's deterred him the most, is he, for 10 years, could create things with his legs, and now what does that look like?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Like, now it's just, oh, you hold on to the ball too long. You see him on Saturday against the Bills? the sacks that he took, like the dude just hangs onto the ball. So, yeah, he's interesting in how his career has unraveled here. I mean, yeah, it's not normal for the quarterbacks even of that level. Like Matthew Stafford is out here older than Russell Wilson, and he still looks fine, right? He can still sling the football because he wasn't solely built on his athleticism to be the thing that made him great. Allen, by the way, like, I don't need to make this too much of an Allen point. Allen, you know, his ability to rip the ball down the field, to win from the pocket, like, I'm not worried about him being done at 32 years old, like Russell Wilson, because, I mean, he might not be as good, and he might need to become better as a passer when he can't jump over people and run by them for a 50-yard touchdown against Pittsburgh, but I have more of a baseline with him throwing than I think even some of these other guys.
So the Cam Newton conversation again, like, I think part of it is Josh has been a better thrower of the football than Cam Newton since the very beginning.
Ever was.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, I do view this as an interesting conversation because we simply don't know, and Josh Allen, I think, will be a case study on how truly mobile but physically mobile quarterbacks age. Because Lamar Jackson is not the same runner as Josh Allen.
No.
They are very different runners. Kyler Murray is a different runner than even Lamar Jackson. Will Levis is kind of the next generation of guys that are
He kind of runs more like Allen.
There are more.
He tries to, at least.
Jaden Daniels, smaller.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tall guy, but he's smaller.
He won't be able to take hits as much.
He will not. But you really look at almost every single one of these quarterbacks, really from before the Josh Allen draft, but the Josh Allen draft and on, has there been a quarterback drafted at a higher level or at least with a premium draft asset that doesn't have at least some level of running ability? Even a J.J. McCarthy, who's maybe not known for his running ability, is still a player that's going to probably run for 200-300 yards over the course of a season.
I think you're like 99% right. I still can't figure out what Bryce Young is good at. he does not look very mobile to me. Like, he's not that.
CJ Stroud, I guess, isn't necessarily.
No, but he extends plays.
Is he not the modern day pocket passer? CJ?
He's the modern. Yeah, I mean, he kind of reminds me of Wilson in some of those ways. Like, I think he's got more
mobility to run, mobility to throw off platform.
Yeah,
rather than. Make mobility throws, like a running ability.
And make throws out of the pocket, you know, like create with your legs to throw it. You're mostly right. I think almost everybody, pretty much everybody, like back to Mayfield, really, has at least some level of it. Do you have, we'll get a break in a moment here. Do you have a favorite backup quarterback idea for the Bills?
I've got a couple. I have several, actually. Yeah.
All right, listen,
we don't have to spend tons of time talking about the Bills' backup quarterback situation.
Not a ton.
But, I think I sit in a pool, and there's probably like-minded people that think the same way, as I don't need the league's number one, the best backup quarterback in the league. Who is that, Jameis? Is that, or like Jameis equivalent?
I like Jameis for that, yeah. Yep.
I don't need that.
He might be a starter at this point because, let's take a break. Let's get to, you got a couple ideas that you like. I've got an idea I like. And I think Tuesday, I think we're going to get something. I think there's a list of pretty decent backup quarterbacks, remember, that are currently listed as their team's third stringer, or even in some cases fourth stringer. And with cutdown day in the league being Tuesday, you know, like, the Bills got to get through this game on Saturday, and then I think they might have a lot of options that they can look at next week if they want to make a move, if they want to change, if they think Trubisky's injury is going to be a little bit. There are some names. And Cleveland, we'll get to Watson, because Watson is a big reason why Cleveland's quarterback room looks the way that it does. And if he's healthy, which I'm not sure he is, and actually right now nobody is sure that he is, if he's healthy, the Browns have three backup quarterbacks that all, I think, rate more than the Bills' backup. But, yeah. I mean, why do they have all those guys? We'll get to it. They have all those guys because they're probably concerned that Watson is shot. We'll get to that
the
when we come back.
The quarterback they paid $230 million.
Yes. Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number. Sal coming up at 7. I also want to revisit our, the last time Nate was in, we did our first snap draft, We drafted players in the Bills offense based on who would be on the first snap. We have to revisit that because of all the injuries that have happened since then also, and who might be looking like they're in the lead on that front. Sal at 7, plenty of time for your phone calls at 803-0550. Here on a Thursday, we are exactly 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. Ravens and Chiefs, 14 days from today. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
It's the guys that do the work that are great at it. And it's really that simple. You know, you look at Aikman, you look at Romo, you know, these guys that broke in and, you know, like everybody looks at Romo like he's, you know, he's predicting the future. Oh, how did he predict that play, right? Well, he went to practice. He saw what they ran from that formation and that's activist, and that's what they did, right? So I know that Tommy will work it to death. I will get kind of tired of his squeaky-ass voice.
That's Drew Bledsoe on Good Morning Football on Brady's broadcasting. Romo has stopped that, though. He doesn't predict plays anymore.
Largely. Yeah, I would say he has stopped that.
Yeah. Was he watching practice, or was he just in the league the year before and 2 years before, so he knew them all, and now the game has changed a little bit.
I don't think it's that. I think that it feels like there was a...
You know what I mean?
Initiative to say, we don't want you to do this anymore.
Well, they had to have a... What was the word?
They kind of had to yell at him for being lazy.
Yeah, like he wasn't even doing the prep work.
Like he wasn't really showing up particularly.
I mean, he has not been in the league in 9 years.
That's... Yeah, I mean, things change, but like concepts kind of don't.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
is Brady going to be good at it, though?
Yeah.
You think Brady's going to be good at it? I think Belichick's going to be better at all the media he's doing.
I think
Belichick's going to be better.
But is Belichick going to be in the booth calling games?
No, he'll be doing everything else.
Right.
He'll be doing the Manning cast.
Okay.
Manning cast. He's doing a show on Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah,
he's doing the Pat McAfee show. He's doing Inside the NFL. I bet he'll be very good at Inside the NFL. So, yeah. Brady, by the way... His first game, you know, Bledsoe mentions two former Cowboys there, maybe coincidentally. The first game Brady is calling this year in the booth is going to be Browns Cowboys Week 1.
That's not a game I really... Is that Monday Night Football?
That is... No, it's a 425 game in Cleveland. Sunday, 425. What are the odds that Deshaun Watson is not playing that football game? Because he is...
I think he'll play.
...sitting out of practice now with general arm soreness. It was about a month ago he was cleared for contact, coming back from a right shoulder injury, and then he was not cleared for contact, and then last week he was cleared for contact again. So it's kind of been this back and forth of, can he practice with contact, can he not? Which, by the way, what does that mean anyways? Because quarterbacks don't get hit when they practice. So kind of doesn't mean anything anyway. And then he sits out with general arm soreness. I don't know. Don't the Browns... This is where we can get to like Bill's backup quarterback ideas. Cleveland is the team that I am staring at for this. It's Joe DiBiase, Nate Gary, Jeremy's off today. Cleveland is the team I'm staring at for this because the Browns are acting like they think Watson's in trouble. They have two Pro Bowl backup quarterbacks, by the way. Jameis Winston and Tyler Huntley have both made Pro Bowls. And then they have Dorian Thompson-Robinson behind that, who's had good preseason moments. He was not good in the regular season last year, but he was a rookie. So I've got three backups in Cleveland. One of them is Winston, who might be the best backup in the league. I don't know. What's more likely? One of two things I think can happen there. One, Watson really is in trouble, and Cleveland's going to be playing a lot of games with Jameis Winston this year. Or, and maybe both of these can be true, if you're a team like the Bills and needs a backup quarterback, like Cleveland is the team you should be calling right now.
I agree with that. On Watson, he does look sort of shot. Like, and I'm just looking at his injury history. I was doing this with Russell Wilson. This Draft Sharks website does a great job of like going over players' injury history, their risk of injury moving forward. He has a 20% chance to miss at least two quarters this year. He's got, just based on his injury history, his whole right side of his body. I mean, he's got three shoulder surgeries and three right knee surgeries.
Okay.
So
it's a lot.
Yeah. And if you remember the situation last year, he hurt his rotator cuff in week three.
Yeah.
Came back. Then, like, in that game he came back, he got hurt, and then he came back again, and then he was shut down for the season. And it was kind of talked about as, like, a fracture in his shoulder. But he's listed here as having a rotator cuff tear that season in September. So if he had a rotator cuff tear and a fracture in his shoulder, I guess it would make sense why it's taking him so long to come back. Mm-hmm. But you would wonder, he's September 24th was when he sustained the first shoulder injury, and then October 22nd was the second time. Mm-hmm. We're almost a full year.
Yeah. And he's sitting out of practices because his arm is sore.
Right. And when you watch him throw in practice, like when I've seen highlights, and
the ball doesn't pop off his hand. Right? Like,
not that I ever, he wasn't really ever considered to have like elite level arm talent coming out. Like,
it was like elite level athleticism.
Yes.
Like the arm talent was like, what would you say? Average, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe slightly
coming
above
out,
average.
Yes. So like, he's another one, Joe, where like, I think about the 2020 season featured him and Russell Wilson as maybe being the two players that had the best seasons of quarterbacks not named like Josh Allen, or who else would have had big 2020 seasons?
Mahomes,
sure. Right. I mean, he won the MVP Mahomes that year, right? And Lamar, yeah. I think, had a good 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's a big Rodgers year also. But Watson led the league in passing yards and yards per attempt
yes.
that year.
So,
and he hasn't looked the same ever since.
That season in 2020, 4,800 yards. 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
He added, let's see, what did he do rushing? I'm sure he...
That year rushing, he had 444 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Those are really good numbers.
I remember...
A 70% completion percentage in 2020. That's absurd.
Yeah, I think he might be shot. I remember watching him throw the football last year. I wonder if he was dealing with it before. I guess all the surgeries he had, maybe he was. That when he was passing the ball last year, I think there's definitely a celebratory, you know, thing here with this dude who was being sued by over 20 women for sexual misconduct. Like, this is a bad dude, right? This is a bad dude. So karma, right? That's the vibe you get. And I think rightfully so. Last year, I remember trying to figure out, like, okay, yeah, good. Like, he looks terrible. I love rooting against him. He looks bad. Great. I also was trying to figure out why he looks bad. Like, just because he sat out? He's 28 years old. Michael Vick sat out for multiple years for dogfighting in prison and came back and was throwing 70-yard passes to DeSean Jackson. Like, what do you mean? His arm just went away. But that's what it looks like. I remember that happened to Marcus Mariota. Mariota got an elbow injury and got, like, nerve damage. And every time I saw him play football after that, it's like, this dude can't throw the football anymore. And I feel like that's Watson. I feel like Watson can't throw the football. I think the Browns are a better team if Jameis Winston gets in a quarterback this year. That dude can throw the football. I mean, he will throw it too hard, too much.
He'll throw it to multiple people.
He'll throw it anywhere.
To people that just aren't your team either.
He will spray it like I've got a buddy who hits a golf ball like 300 yards, but it goes everywhere. That's Jameis Winston. You have no idea where it's going to go. So if you're thinking about the Bills for backup quarterback, Cleveland is like Tyler Huntley, right? Why not? That's your mobility. That's a guy that's won games. He's proven. What do you want a backup to do? The other day was Chopin the Bulldog. What you really want a backup to do is, hey, in the games you got to play, can you go 500 for me?
Yep. Right.
And
exactly.
That's Tyler Huntley. He's going to go 500 for you. He's not going to wow you.
He has a playoff start, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Do you remember what happened in that playoff game?
They should have won.
They should have won.
Against the Chiefs.
No, the Bengals.
The Bengals.
And the Bengals beat the Bills the next week.
Yes.
Do you remember why they should have won?
The fumble. On the 1 yard line.
He tried to sneak it.
Yes.
And his coach didn't know it, and he was too far away, and the Bengals popped the ball out and then returned it 99 yards
for
a touchdown.
And that's what won them the game. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Do you have a name you like better than Huntley?
I like Heinicke.
I like Heinicke a lot. He is not, though. You know, I tweeted out like a highlight video of him yesterday. Heinicke is not, hey, come in, take care of the ball, manage the game. Heinicke is, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to be Josh Allen. He's not going to be Josh Allen,
no.
But he's going to try to be. He's got a little Fitz swagger to him. The dude is kind of a psycho. he's going to do a lot of crazy stuff. He might win you the game by doing that. He also might lose you the game. Have Bills ever had a backup like that? Guy comes in. I mean, it really was Fitz,
yeah,
right?
It was
originally.
Fitz. Yeah. He was
originally
the
backup, it was Fitz.
And then took the job.
Yeah. That's Heinicke. I got a list up on my Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. These are all like the third string quarterbacks in the league. Running through them like real quick. We just mentioned a couple of the top names. Malik Willis. That's a Chris Trapasso idea. He likes Malik Willis.
Okay. Who's their backup?
Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Willis, though, doesn't... That dude holds on to the football like no one I've ever seen before. C.J. Beathard in Jacksonville is the third string because they signed Mac Jones.
Yep.
Zach Wilson in Denver right now. Want to go down that route?
Not really.
Again, he's more of the wild card. He might lose you the game. I guess he could win you the game. P.J. Walker is a third stringer. John Wolford, Jeff Driscoll, Bailey Zappi in New England right now. Trey Lance is the third string in Dallas. The Bills reportedly made an offer for him last year, but Jerry Jones, I guess, is talking like they have no interest in trading him.
He has not looked good in the preseason either.
Yeah, but he is the third stringer. And then there are currently four former Bills that are third string quarterbacks on their current teams.
Case Keenum.
Kyle Allen in Pittsburgh, Jake Fromm, and Peterman.
Yeah, I don't think that's four?
Keenum. I guess it could be Kyle Allen, too, couldn't it?
It could be Kyle Allen, but I
he was just here.
I would bet Pittsburgh doesn't move on from Kyle Allen.
Because they don't trust the two ahead of him?
I think the team...
Yeah, that's a good point. Houston, I think, would be more likely to say, oh, you want a third-string quarterback? Fine, give us a seventh. Versus... Right, the Steelers might think we need quarterbacks.
I think the guy that ends up shaking loose is probably not Tyler Huntley. I know they're talking about Dorian Thompson-Robinson being available.
Yep.
And I still would make a play on that. I'd be open to that.
Yep, for like a seventh round pick.
He's a young kid, you know, had a little experience last year, but then kind of got benched for... Flacco. He got benched for Flacco.
He was great in the preseason, and was, he played a couple of games, and it went really poorly for him. And that's when, I think they brought in Flacco after that. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a backup quarterback idea and would like to share it, feel free. We got Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get to our Bills' first snap draft that we had a couple of weeks ago, because... It's very different landscape today than it was a month ago. I'm very interested to try to figure out, like, how are the Bills going to line up week one? How are they going to use their guys? Because the receiver room right now, like, it's kind of thin, even on depth, let alone at the top, which we've known it's been thin at the top all offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought. Sal's coming up at 7. This is WGR. Did you see that Joey Votto retired?
I did this morning. Yeah, I saw it on ESPN.
Did you see where Joey Votto retired?
No.
Like where he announced his retirement?
No.
Joey Votto, Hall of Famer? I don't know enough about baseball. I mean, numbers.
I would think so.
Over 1,000 runs, RBIs. He retired from a Buffalo parking lot.
It almost
kind of comes off as a shot at Buffalo. Like, hey guys, look where I'm at. I'm done.
What is he like playing for the Bisons?
He was, I guess, training with the Bisons because he was in the Blue Jays system, but he was dealing with an injury. But yeah, Votto, like in a parking lot outside Salem Field. Look, there he is with the skyline in the background on his Instagram. Like, hey, I'm done.
That's it. I'm done. I am officially retired from baseball.
It's almost like he made... Am I making too much of this? He made a point to show, like, guys, look where I'm at. I'm in cloudy, cold Buffalo.
And it was bad. It was a tough day the other day. It was chilly.
I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm 40. Just strange. Where were you when you learned Joey Votto retired? It'll be trivia in 5 years. Which baseball Hall of Famer retired from a Buffalo parking lot? And Joey Votto will be your answer. Sal Capaccio, when we come back. Bills practicing yesterday. They're getting healthier, at safety at least. And we'll break down the receiver position with Sal as well. That's coming up here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.